One of my favorite guests, because he can talk about anything, you know, always tell you the truth, is Jay Billis, and joins us now with the help of our friends at LG. Happy tournament, Final Four weekend. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
We're doing fine here. You know what? Before we talk hoops, tell me what you're doing for LG.
Well, I am the official color commentator for LG. So if anybody comes up to you and says they're official, they're unofficial.
Right.
I'm the official one.
Right. Except no substitutes.
So it's been great. At LGGameDay.com, you can get all the analytics on the Final Four and how color comes into decision-making and how color can affect the Final Four. And LG knows color better than anybody, not only with their LG twin wash washing machines that keep your colors bright as ever, but with their I've been watching everything on my LG OLED TV, which gives you a billion colors, and I've been counting them up. I'm almost there, so I'm up to 990,000, and they've been accurate so far.
Well, it's great to see that you're using your time wisely.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. What could be better? I can't wait till the Masters so I can count blades of grass on my TV.
Right. Well, you have that kind of superpower. It's LGGameDay.com. And check it out. Let's talk bright orange for a second. Regardless of what people think of Syracuse and getting into the tournament, I think they're a serious threat. Have they got a shot?
There's no question they have a shot. I mean, I think when Syracuse has played its best basketball throughout the course of the season, they've proven they can beat anybody. And it just depends. Like early in the year, actually, as the year started, I was doing that tournament in the Bahamas where Syracuse wound up winning it. And, you know, Jim Boeheim was saying before the tournament, hey, if we make shots, we can win. If we don't make shots, we can't beat anybody. And, you know how Boeheim is.
Sure.
But he was right. His team performed at a really high level there, and they were making shots like crazy. And I think they've gotten better and better defensively. Their defense hasn't been the issue, but when they've lost, their offense has let them down. And that's going to be the issue against North Carolina. Are they going to be able to rebound with the Tar Heels and keep them off the offensive glass? And can they operate at an efficient level on the offensive end? Because whether it's going against man or Syracuse's zone, North Carolina puts up points pretty easily, and they're much better defensively than they were a month ago.
Why is that 2-3 zone so special? Everybody knows it's coming. You know, you can break it down on film. You can look at it. You can do matchups. You can figure out who you got or you don't have. Why does it work so well for Syracuse?
Well, I think because people, even though they know Syracuse is going to play it, it's not something that they see all the time. And you'll hear coaches saying you can't simulate it in practice. But that's true of a press. That's true of a lot of man defenses. You can't simulate length and all that stuff and athleticism. I get that. But really, really what it is usually zone offenses are not as good as your man offense. And Syracuse forces you to play a lesser offense against them. And while, like, if you play man-to-man, if Syracuse played man-to-man, they'd be spending all week preparing for North Carolina's secondary break, the box sets that they run, some of the stagger way action and screen for the screener action that they run. They can't do all that stuff against the zone. There's only about five things that you can do against the zone consistently to be effective, and Syracuse sees those all the time. So it's North Carolina that's got to prepare for Syracuse, not the other way around. And
it's a great point.
They do a great job of scouting, and then there's certain, like, just take the middle of the zone. Like, you'll hear guys like me during a game say, get the ball to the free throw line, middle of the zone, then look short corner, look opposite, all that kind of stuff. Well, it depends on who you put there, because if you put somebody that doesn't operate well making a shot there, the middleman's not going to go up and guard that. If they can make a play, then they're going to go up and guard, they're going to make adjustments elsewhere. And so they just do a great job of that, and it's something that nobody else does quite as well, in my judgment.
The big advantage that North Carolina would seem to have, Jay, and you alluded to it, is their rebounding and their offensive rebounding. I was among those looking forward to a North Carolina-Michigan State matchup. I think you had the Spartans in your Final Four as well, because I think that would have just been a war on the glass. But what does Syracuse have to do to offset that? I mean, if North Carolina gets so many second shots.
Well, first of all, North Carolina's really good at it, so you got to give them credit for it. But in trying to limit the amount of high percentage second shots they get, I think Syracuse, you know, they're in the 2-3 zone, your rebounding is positioned. It's not like in man-to-man where sometimes your big guys can be out top or something like that, and they got to get back to the glass. The big guys on the baseline have to do a good job of blocking out. You know, even though in a zone it's more difficult to get blockout responsibilities, you can still do it. But the main thing is the guards have to rebound. You're going to have all five guys that are taking the responsibility of defensive rebounding. And so they have to stick their get their noses dirty and stick them in there and get rebounds. If they don't, and you leave it up to the big guys, you're going to have guys like Justin Jackson are going to be able to come in from the wing, and they're going to grab a number of offensive rebounds. And look, Syracuse can get out-rebounded and win. They can't get badly out-rebounded and win. That's really the issue.
You know, you look at Villanova and Oklahoma. But first off, Buddy Hield sounds like a guy that owns a pool hall. He doesn't. You know what I mean?
Or a car dealer. Sounds like a car dealer. Come down and see Buddy Hield. We'll give you 50% off.
Exactly. And Oklahoma absolutely flattened Villanova. Now, I know you got to play them one at a time, and I know you got to stay in the moment and all these things, but we're still talking about kids. How do these kids keep that out of their head if Oklahoma gets out to a fast start?
I don't think they'll worry about it. Most of these guys have had to deal with a loss here and there, and everybody's got their demons and all that. I think the one thing, you know, that game was played in Hawaii. It was in, I think, November, if I remember right. And Villanova shot, I think it was 4 of 32 from three-point range. They're way better than that. Oklahoma knows it. Villanova knows it. And I think that the Oklahoma guys, well, both teams are mature. They're older. They all know that what happened back then is of very little consequence to what's going to happen now. It's a nice thing for all of us to point to. They've had the experience of playing against one another, so they're not going to be surprised by anything. But I think you would be dealing with a couple of very immature teams if they dragged any baggage in from that game. Will there be extra motivation for Villanova in preparation for this? Maybe a little bit of a mental edge as they prepare. With their sharpness and all that, but I seriously doubt once the ball goes up and once it's tipped that that'll be of any consequence at all.
I know all the four of these teams are used to playing in big venues at various times and in the spotlight, but when you go into a venue like Energy Stadium, this the big domed monstrosity, sometimes good shooting teams don't shoot as well. What do they have to do to kind of offset that?
I don't think you can worry about it, honestly. I mean, you know, the backgrounds, the shooting backgrounds in these domes have really gotten so much better over the years. I mean, most of them, the sight lines are fantastic. In this one in Houston, the 2011 Final Four was horrific shooting. And I was told, I haven't looked at the numbers from the last regional here and all that stuff, but I understand, at least I was told, that the numbers were down shooting wise. So there may be something to that. There may be something to the venue, but the truth is you don't have much of a choice. I mean, you've got to go in and take your shots and make them. And so the team that's kind of mentally tough enough to put that aside and rise up and make the shots they have to make, the free throws, all that stuff, are going to be in a really good position. But it's going to what it's going to mean is if there are issues with shooting and you're going to miss a few more than you normally would miss given a better shooting background and the like, then that's going to mean rebounding is going to be at an even higher premium. And so second shots and taking care of business as far as box outs are concerned, some of the fundamental things in the game. You know, I played in the Final Four 30 years ago, and Danny Manning, who played at Kansas, talks about the fact that our Duke team was able to beat them on a missed blockout. And then we wound up losing to Louisville in the title game, and one of the big reasons was we missed the blockout late in the game. And so blockouts, they seem mundane and stuff you do every day in practice and seem simple, but, boy, you miss one of those things, and it's a big price to pay.
Now, that was the Peach Basket era, wasn't it, when you played in the Final Four?
Yeah, short shorts and Chuck Taylors, and we all had grease in our hair. It was a wonderful time in America.
All right, Fonzie, the UConn question came up this week and about the UConn women dominating, and a lot of people turned to you for comment on it. For people that didn't hear your take on it, where were you?
Well, it all stemmed from something that Dan Shaughnessy had tweeted from Boston Globe about. Yep. He was tired of watching, that he wasn't going to watch, and how UConn women's basketball was bad because of their dominance was bad for the game. And I don't have a problem. Somebody says they don't want to watch, and I'm not going to start calling somebody misogynistic or something if they don't like women's basketball. I don't care about that. But the thing about somehow dominance being bad for the game struck a chord with me, that you know, nobody said that about UCLA in the 60s and 70s when they were totally, I mean, that wasn't dominant. That was beyond dominance. They totally dominated.
Right.
And it grew the game. It helped the game. And, you know, Edwin Moses didn't hurt, you know, hurdling. And, you know, we haven't seen the Patriots hurting the NFL. You know, it's all kind of nonsensical in that regard. If we're talking about what people are going to watch, my sense is the numbers are not that different when, you know, when we had, you know, games going back and forth. Actually, more people watch UConn play women's basketball than watch other teams. So I think the analysis is flawed, but I think we just kind of need to appreciate sustained excellence when we see it. And that's all I was saying, because I really appreciate what Gino Auriemma and his teams have accomplished. It's really remarkable.
Yeah, and I think they draw people to the game in the same way Tiger Woods drew people to golf that weren't necessarily golf fans.
I think so. And you know, look, women's basketball and women's sports in general do not attract the kind of eyeballs and attention that I believe it deserves. That is a sociological and societal issue.
Right.
But if you're looking at just sort of the idea that having a dominant team or a dominant person in a sport is bad for the sport because, you know, we want to watch the drama of it come down to the last shot or the last putt or whatever, you know, coming down to the tape, I just don't believe that's true. I absolutely don't believe that's true. We haven't seen that. I think it grows the game, and I think it is going to increase competition in the women's game. We're going to see the levels of the game of performance on the part of everyone rise as a result of UConn.
It's Jay Billis working with LG, lggameday.com. More on that in just a second. Before we let you go or ask you for a pick, a selfish question maybe. As you know, Dave Ennett's done Northwestern basketball forever, and I'd be curious to get your take and Jay's take on this, Dave. Why are we losing so many great players out of Chicago? Why can't we recruit here? Why can't we build here? Even though I'll give Chris Collins all the credit in the world, he's doing amazing things at Northwestern. Mm-hmm. Jay, you first.
Well, I think any time, whether it's in Los Angeles or New York or Chicago, any center that has had amazing talent and has had a past where talent has stayed home, there are a lot more factors at work here. You know, years ago when DePaul was the king of Chicago, when Ray Meyer was there,
right,
a lot of players stayed home more often because, you know, television hadn't grown at that point. Now, you know, you can be seen by your family no matter where you go. And so that's changed the dynamic a little bit. The other part is facilities. And, you know, we in college sports, they don't allow competing entities to pay the players. And so facilities are a gigantic attraction. And until there's investment in facilities where that's something that players can be attracted by, it is an uphill battle. I mean, I see those things as being the biggest factors.
Jay, before we let you go, we know that Kansas is gone. We know Michigan State's gone. Oregon's gone. Who wins this thing?
Well, if you go to lggameday.com, it will tell you that blue wins more national championships than any other color. I tend to think that that North Carolina is the best team without regard to color. I think Carolina, because of their inside game, their depth, the way that they score, the efficiency of their big guys. I thought Carolina should have been the best team from day one. They had some ups and downs. But absent them shooting the ball really poorly from the perimeter, I don't see Carolina losing here at the Final Four.
You the same place, Dave? You got Carolina?
Yeah, it's hard to see them
Listen, I don't even drink, and I'm picking Syracuse. I just got a feeling for Boeheim, and I think this could be a big, big weekend for him. Again, it's lggameday.com. The colors are blue wins big, red second, orange third, green fourth. But who you got this weekend? Check out lggameday.com. Great color statistics, tips how to create your best game day experience. And Jay Billis, always appreciate your time, my friend.
Always a pleasure. Thank you for having me.